And the passage I'm preaching from is 2 Peter 2, 18 through 22. So if you've got an electronic device, Bible, you want to go there. 2 Peter 2, 18 through 22. I'm using the New American Standard, 1995. Now in this chapter, Peter warned about false teachers infecting the church. And it was the apostate Jews in his day. It's all kinds of people in our day. And so we are told, the Apostle Peter, he says, be grounded in the true knowledge of God. He uses that statement all through 2 Peter. A true knowledge assures you of your everlasting spiritual salvation, that through the cross of Christ, Jesus, by grace through faith, God makes sure the saved remain saved, spiritually saved, which means you're going to heaven. You're saved now, you're saved later, you're always saved in Christ Jesus by receiving his sacrifice, receiving him as the Savior. But some people believe salvation is not secure. They don't think that everlasting life is really everlasting, that it can be temporary life for some and only everlasting for others. And they think that 2 Peter teaches insecurity. But Peter never taught that you can lose salvation. Last week I corrected a wrong view of 2 Peter 2, 1 through 2 in respect to this. It's more like it here, 18 through 22. That's the verses. And it's Peter's same point about the real problem. I'm going to get to it, but first I'll read 2, 18 through 22. Still warning about false teachers infiltrating the Christian community, Peter said at verse 18, for speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption, destruction, disintegration. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. Now the passage that some misinterpret, Peter said, and listen, for if, after they have escaped the defilements, that's taints, the contaminations of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to its own vomit, and a pig after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. Now, my question to you is this. Think about it. Do you think that when you, as a spiritually saved person, if you're spiritually saved, which means you receive Christ Jesus' sacrifice for your sins, you believe that, you embrace that, and he has saved you, do you think that when you, as a spiritually saved person, sin certain kinds of sins, like on a rating scale, or you sin certain times, like some kind of quantity scale, that you can get entangled in the defilements of the world to be overcome by it to an everlasting doom because the kinds or the quantity that you come up with, the sins, turns you away from salvation? Think about that. Do you think that about yourself or anyone? Prepare your heart for this sermon. The real problem and real danger. Let's pray. Father, I just ask that you help me to preach accurately your word, to present these things so that we will understand our security in your Son, Jesus Christ, that you've given us to where we are saved by real grace through faith, not by works. And I'm asking, Father, that in this preaching that you would guide me to whatever I bring out, that it would become evident of what Peter is intending has not to do with Christians losing salvation. I'm doing this for your glory and great appreciation of your Son Jesus and all the other passages in the New Testament that shows that we are secure in your Son that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so in this flow that Peter's writing, he's describing Israelites of the transition generation. And what is that? Transition generation was from the old covenant into the new covenant Christianity back in the day of Jesus. And some of them received and they believed their Messiah Jesus after he was crucified and resurrected, which are the people now that Peter was writing to. But others, they forsook the truth. They either rejected outright or they tried to blend with real Christians, inventing their own version of Christianity. Now, influencing real Christians is the danger. Believing something wrong, by the way, is also a danger. And you can think that you know a truth, but you can still be wrong. And being wrong doesn't mean that you're not saved, though. And everyone makes mistakes. But take someone like Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism. He claimed to be a prophet, and he used Christian terms, but he purposely contradicted the Bible. Now, he's an example of what Peter is warning against. And so are certain liberal seminary professors. They deny the resurrection. They say Jesus was not the Son of God. And so what's happened is they've turned from what Peter calls the true knowledge of God. But Peter makes that statement. Listen, for speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the knowledge, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. And it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a pig after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. Though some read this to mean you're not secure in your spiritual salvation, that God has you in his grip, that he never leaves you nor forsakes you, and that you don't leave or forsake him, there are two analytical views which recognize that Peter's meaning is something else. Two, and they differ a little from one another, but both of them are more exegetically sound in their overall dealing with the text than reading into it losing salvation. The word salvation is not mentioned in the text. And further, they line up with dozens of passages which assure you that you are secure in salvation, everlasting, everlasting. So I'm going to walk us through the first one view. Ready? And then I'm going to get to the other to consider both in an overall understanding, and that it's mainly this overall understanding. Peter does not teach insecurity in Christ, okay? So starting with the one view, it sees the pronouns and the details of the key verses this way. 2:18 says, "For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they, unsaved false teachers, entice by fleshly desires, by sensualities, those Christians who barely escape from the ones, the same unsaved influencers who live in error." Verse 19, "They themselves, the unsaved false teachers, are slaves of corruption," that's destruction, that's deterioration, disintegration, same Greek word means that. Verse 20, "For if after they, unsaved false teachers, have escaped the defilements," that's the taints and the contaminations of the world, "by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, yet not embracing the Savior with the Christians of their day, they," the unsaved false teachers, "are again entangled in the contaminating defilements. Then defilements of ignorance overcome them. The last state has become worse for them, unsaved false teachers, than the first." Verse 21, "For it would be better for them," unsaved false teachers, "not to have known the way of righteousness." And so the view sees they, them, and those false prophets as the unsaved infiltrators that Peter has been talking about. This first view. The ones I preached about, by the way, last week. And so by having knowledge of Jesus but not faith in him, they, like we saw last week with Peter's analogy from Deuteronomy 32, metaphorically exited the Egypt. And so encountering the true people of God now, the Christians who escape from the defiling, tainting contaminations of the ignorance of the surrounding world to embrace the gospel, okay, encountering Christians, the unsaved knew the way of righteousness asserted by those true Christians. And since Peter never said that they embraced the message of the gospel and saving faith, they simply knew the gospel and were fascinated with Christianity. But neither means anything if you don't embrace Christ as the way of righteousness through faith. And this view says that the way of righteousness is the gospel, this first view. So the view sees them as having known the way of righteousness as the gospel, but never actually believing the way for the salvation which imputes righteousness through Christ Jesus. And so being fakes who encounter the immersed Christian community, to reject the gospel, to be entangled in the defilements of ignorance of the surrounding world again, like going back to the ways of Egypt, considering that same analogy of Old Testament Israel, it's to love the world in rejection of Jesus as the true Messiah, the true Lord, the true Savior. And so, since they never wanted to be true Christians, their final state as apostate Jews, Jews that turned against God, is worse than their previous state of when they knew nothing about the true Messiah beforehand. To actually know the gospel way of righteousness of the Messiah and his new covenant, yet still turn away from the great and holy commandment of Christ, which is what? It's to love Christ, love Christians, and love Christianity. That's the commandment of Christ. It's like coming out of a previous filth. Again, like escaping Egypt. God delivers you. But simply to return to the filth like it's better than Christianity. And it's what happened with some of those Israelites who came out of Egypt with the true God lovers. And so in the same legacy of rejecting God to worship a false cow god. Remember they made a golden cow? Not all of them, but some did. Like that, the false teachers of Peter's warning in his day live as one big definition of sin. In other words, they miss the mark of God's standard of righteousness, which for them is to miss the important righteous mark of salvation in Christ. Now, the warning is that their influence is so enticing, Christians barely escape from the tainting influence of those fakes who live in error. They promise Christians freedom, but saved people are already free in Christ. And the false teachers only offer bondage that's cloaked in freedom promises of fleshly desires and sensuality and all kinds of other lies. False prophets did the exact same thing to ancient Israel. And the influencers are not free themselves. Right? Peter says, being slaves of corruption, destruction, deterioration, disintegration. Verse 19, which is the same corruption of being unsaved according to 1:4. Unsaved. So they're unsaved. And 1:4 assures you that when you become a Christian, you become a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world. The corruption of the world is the curse of spiritual death. And it's the existence of the unregenerate nature. Partaking in the divine nature is salvation. And so over here in 2:19, those unsaved people, those false prophets who are slaves of unsaved corruption, promise spiritually saved people freedom while they themselves, as the unsaved false teachers, are slaves of corruption, Peter says. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. And that's the issue. They're always overcome because they're always slaves of corruption and spiritual death. They are slaves of sin, as Paul the Apostle calls it. Nothing changed after they escaped from the defilements, the taints, the contamination of the ignorance of the surrounding world through getting knowledge of the gospel. And gospel literally means this, the good news. And it's the good news of Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the sacrificial lamb. So according to this view, if you are a spiritually saved person, it means you've escaped the corruption of spiritual death to be a partaker in God's divine nature, which Paul the Apostle expounds so much more on that. But unsaved people who only temporarily escape from the defilements of ignorance by association with Christians, yet they love the defilements, they want to go back to them, those are people that you should be aware of. They will influence you. Okay? So I'm getting into a very unique kind of a preaching sermon this morning, trying to show you ways to look at an understanding of a text that matches the rest of Scripture instead of coming in and then seeing something that's not there. But I'm also going to tell you, you need to be careful of the influence of false teachers out there trying to influence you back into the ways of the world. But remember, the guarantee of all the truly saved people there is in 1:4. This is what it is. God has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises so that by them you will become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption already that is in the world because of the sin and the sinful desire. Unsaved people do not have that guarantee. And if they never leave the corruption of the unsaved nature in Adam, because Adam brought sin into the world, well, they never let the sinful desire of being unsaved. And so when Peter speaks of their escape from the defilements by being acquainted with knowledge of the way of righteousness of the holy commandment, understand that the holy commandment really is Christ's command to love, as is stated in 1 John and other places, as loving God by loving Christ's people, loving Christianity. So their teaching that you have a license to be sexually immoral is actually a transgression of the commandment to love others. You know that? Because listen, all sin is a transgression of the way of righteousness of the law of love. All of it. Just think about this. Whenever a Christian is immoral with someone, they are sinning against that person, and they also cause that other person to sin. Well, that's not love. You can call it something else. You can call it erotic desire, but don't call it love. And so when it comes to Peter's illustrations for their state being worse than back when they had no exposure to the true knowledge of God at all, Peter's allusion is to Proverbs 26:11, which says this, like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. And so this view, this first one that I'm going into, says that Peter means a dog with an unchanged dog nature returns to its own vomit as the dog nature it always was. And saying a pig after washing returns to wallowing in the mire means a pig stays a pig no matter if it gets among the cleanliness of God's flock. And so wanting the vomit and the feces-permeated mud of the domain of darkness, remember what Paul the Apostle calls it, the world, the domain of darkness, the world controlled by Satan, their doom, along with the rest of the apostate Jews in Jerusalem of the time, was many things. Destruction and captivity in AD 70, which was a worse state than when the apostate Jews had first been enlightened with the truth of the gospel. Also, their doom was the penalty of everlasting destruction away from the presence of the Lord, like it says in 2 Thessalonians 1:9. And so this view is like the apostle John said of fakes in the churches in 1 John 2:19. Listen, he said, they went out from us, but they were not really of us, for if they had been of us, they would have remained with us, but they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. So that's, by the way, is 1 John 2:19. So this is one interpretation, and it does seem to fit, and it makes sensible points, because it's seeking to stick with the actual wording in the text. But there is another exegetically sound interpretation, and it does the same thing, but it also recognizes Peter starting out warning about the unsaved infiltrators. And since verses 18 and 19 show that the fakes entice true Christians with fleshly desires and sensuality and promises, Peter warned Christians to avoid polluting their lives with the sinfulness. So this view says those Christians had already barely escaped from the ones who live in error when they got spiritually saved and they became part of the Christian community, the Christians. So they did escape, even barely, because they're truly saved. But they can get contaminated by worldliness and false teachers. And part of the seduction is to be promised a wrong freedom. And if they go that enticing way of liberality and that liberty, it entangles them in the sinful defilements of the world that they were saved from spiritually. But instead of losing spiritual salvation, this view, I'm into the second view, it says that at 2:18, the spiritually saved people barely escape from the ones who live in error, with 2:19 actually being those who live in error promising the spiritually saved people freedom. So 2:20 would be that after spiritually saved people have escaped the defilements of the world, they are again entangled in those defilements of the world and are overcome. The last state has become worse for those spiritually saved people than the first. And it's the state, the first state being their separation from the tainting influences of the world, which is the true freedom. So there is an understanding of what each thing is meant with this view, being that, then verse 21, for it would be better for the spiritually saved people not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment. And so since salvation is never mentioned, and this view does not say the way of righteousness is the gospel, but the way of being useful and fruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what this view says, that way of righteousness, because this is what Peter mentioned it as beforehand, which I'm going to get to in just a moment. And it might be hard to follow what I'm saying, but just hold on. And so since Christians partake in the divine nature of Christ, they already escaped the corruption of spiritual death. But the unsaved false teachers, verse 19, promising the spiritually saved people freedom, while the unsaved false teachers are slaves of corruption, for by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved, is explained as instead of losing spiritual salvation, Christians can go to a worse state than the godly state of walking the truth applied to every area of their lives. And it's worse then to be enticed to accept as normal and good what is really defilement that comes from the sinfulness of the world of corruption. That's the worst state. Plus, you're maligning the truth with your lifestyle, making the worst state even worse. So they're living a spiritual confusion. That's a worse state. And also being chastised by God. That's a worse state than not needing to be chastised. So that's the worst state explained in this view with many ways. And this view fits with recognizing the way of righteousness as being the way of being useful and fruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the statement in 21, for it would be better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment handed to them, to Christians. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit and a pig after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. And also the statement in the next chapter in 3:1-2 where Peter said this, I'm stirring you up by way of reminder to remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord, the commandment and Savior spoken by your apostles. That goes with the statement about the way of Christ's Christian love commandment in 1:5-9, which says this, applying all diligence in brotherly kindness and in your brotherly kindness, love, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, love is increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't want to be that, right? And it says, for he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. That's the same point. Hasn't lost salvation. He is basically useless, rendered useless. He's blind, short-sighted, forgotten his purification. That can happen. And this is the way of righteousness that is spoken of in the second chapter, in chapter 2. And so according to this view, the analogies of dogs and pigs reflecting Proverbs 26:11 represent sin actions. Okay, like a regenerated pig abstaining from wallowing in the mire of sin that it was saved out of, like a regenerated dog deciding not to eat its own vomit, which would be pursuing a sinful lifestyle. And this fits with what Peter said in his first epistle in 2:16. He said, act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. And it matches Galatians 5:13. You are called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. So this view is compelling. And plus, the same word that Peter used for the unprincipled men with their influencing error, it's used back in 2:7 to describe the false teachers. It's not used to describe Christians who make errors. So now I'll reread the passage from each of the two views to give the flow, make it understandable. First, the unsaved false teacher focus view. Verse 18. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, the unsaved false teachers, enticed by fleshly desires, by sensuality, spiritually saved people who barely escape from the unsaved false teachers who live in error, promising the spiritually saved people freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. Same Greek word found in 1:4 to describe the unsaved. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. For if after the unsaved false teachers have escaped the defilements, not corruption, but the contaminations of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the unsaved false teachers are again entangled in the contaminating, polluting, deception defilements of the domain of darkness and are overcome. The last state has become worse for them than the first, for it would be better for the unsaved false teachers not to have known the way of righteousness as the true knowledge of God in Christ, the gospel, than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them, to turn away from loving Christ, loving Christians, and loving Christianity. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit and a pig after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. The unregenerate go back to the world they are more fitted for. And now that second view, which is the spiritually saved people focus view. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, unsaved false teachers enticed by fleshly desires, by sensuality, spiritually saved people who barely escape from the unsaved influencers who live in error, promising the spiritually saved people freedom while they as unsaved false teachers are slaves of corruption. Same Greek word found in 1:4 to describe the unsaved. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. For if after spiritually saved people have escaped the defilements, the sin-tainting contaminations of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the spiritually saved people are again entangled in them, in the contaminating defilements, and are overcome, leading a life that's marked by worldliness, that's the overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for those spiritually saved people not to have known the way of righteousness. The way of righteous living, according to God, as Peter said in 1:5-9, the way of righteousness of applying all diligence and brotherly kindness and in brotherly kindness love. For if these qualities are theirs and are increasing, they render them neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Same point, it would be better for those spiritually saved people not to have known that way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them by not manifesting Christian love. And it has happened to them according to the true proverb, dog returns to his own vomit, and a pig after washing returns to wallowing in the mire. And so here's the important thing, which is why I've been so tedious about this. Both interpretational views do have merit, but more importantly, they both agree with the rest of Scripture, which proclaims the great doctrine of being once saved and everlasting spiritual salvation. That's a very important point. So the problem is not that you are in danger of losing salvation. The real problem is false Christians influencing real Christians with their taints. That is a danger that was back then. That's a danger that we see in every generation. It's all over the place, even right now. And a lot of their influence is easily discerned to be false. You can see that it's infecting. It does. But sometimes it's not. It's not so detectable. And promising things that appeal to the flesh is especially tempting. Especially. So we must look out for such people. Let's endeavor to keep on the right path, as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, examining everything carefully and holding fast to that which is good. Seek to be grounded in the knowledge of your surety and security in Christ. Battle the problem and the danger that Peter prophetically warned about. Stay away from the unsaved infiltrators that are trying to sway you with the errors of their minds. Stick to the Word of God to govern everything. And let's battle that influence together, okay? Amen?